Okay, so let's pick up from the Gemara in Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. It's towards the bottom. It's about 9-10 lines up from the bottom. The word Gufa is the first word on the line. What we talked about was Shila. One of the things that we brought up before was that there was a machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham about a paras chatas, whether you can buy a para aduma from a guy. That was the Mishnah in Para. And the question was, what was the nekudas machlokas? So Rabbi Bada suggested that the nekudas machlokas was whether you say that we are choshish for Raviyah. So Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to buy a paradumer from a guy, well, that's because he holds that we're choshish for Raviyah. But the Chacham understand that no, that you're allowed to buy a paradumer from a guy because we are not choshish for Raviyah. So one of the things the Gemara said is that, well, wait a second, maybe everybody actually holds that we're not choshish for Raviyah. If everybody holds, meaning in other words, maybe that's not the correct nekudas machlokas. Maybe the lumdus behind their positions is something else. Maybe they're fighting about Shila's Yisod. We know that Shila said that he was explaining a different point that Rabbi Eliezer says. He said that Rabbi Eliezer holds of this v'yichu thing. That we said that from the pasuk of Dabar al b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecha, that when it says that Klal Yisrael have to take a paraduma, so it says it's directed towards Klal Yisrael specifically. And so he learns from that pasuk that it has to be dafka b'nei Yisrael have to be taking, being part of the obtaining process of the paraduma, not Goyim. And therefore, if the Goyim are part of the obtaining of this of the paraduma, then that's going to be a problem. So that was Sheila's opinion. So now let's go back and analyze Sheila's drasha there for a minute. Gufa, Tani Sheila. Sheila taught, my time Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reasoning for Rabbi Eliezer? The chesiv, as the pasuk says, Darba b'nei Yisrael v'yichu, b'nei Yisrael yichu, v'enov d'kuchav m'yichu. Dafka, it has to be that Jewish people have to be taking the paraduma, obtaining the paraduma, and not Goyim. Goyim cannot be part of the process of kicha of a paraduma. So the Gemara says, Elamantha, wait a second, if that's the case, what about the other, another pasuk where we find a directive to Klal Yisrael of kicha, where it says Darbar al b'nei Yisrael v'yichuli truma, that the pasuk that where Akash Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, you guys have to get together and take and bring donations for the Mishkan. So it says v'yichuli truma, and that was also directed specifically to Klal Yisrael. Now, so if that what you're saying is correct, so then Hachanami de b'nei Yisrael yichu. So then I should say the same thing over here also. That should be specifically Klal Yisrael that are able to be part of the kicha process, the donation process of obtaining of various things for the Mishkan. The ino of the kachom yichu and not Goyim. Goyim may not be part of the kicha. But the problem is we know that that's not true. V'chidem Hachanami, because if you're going to tell me that yeah, that's true that only Jews are allowed to be part of the process of obtaining things for the Besa, for the Mishkan, but not Goyim. V'amar Rav Yehuda Mishmol, I thought Rav Yehuda Mishmol said, Shalu Esra V'lazer ad heichen kibur aveim. They asked Rav Eliezer, so how far does the mitzvah kibur aveim go? Armalem, and he said to them, Tzuru'u, go ahead and see my asa ove kacham me'echad, what a certain guy did, la'aviv ba'ashkelon, to his father in Ashkelon, or for his father in Ashkelon, rather. V'dama ben Nesina Shimon. This is the famous story of Dama ben Nesina. He said Dama ben Nesina was the name of this fellow. Pam achas bikshu mimenu avadim le'efod. There was one time where they, meaning the Jews nearby, sought from him avanim le'efod. They wanted the stones that are needed for the ephod. We know that the Kohen Gadol has to wear an ephod. It was like a sort of an apron that went around the back of his body, and it was tied in front of his waist. And there were like shoulder straps. At the top of the shoulder straps, as they were going over the shoulders, there were the avanim for the ephod. At least this is the simple understanding of the Gemara. The Balak does have a different understanding a little bit. But the point is that they sought avanim, which were precious stones for the ephod, and these were going to be very expensive. But shishim riboschar, they were willing to pay. Now this would be 10,000. In other words, it's 600,000 as payment. 600,000 dinar, Rashi says, as payment. In other words, they were ready to pay a very large sum for these avanim. Rav Kana masdin b'shmona ribon. In fact, Rav Kana, his version of the story was that they were willing to pay 800,000 dinar. But the problem was that the keys were to the container that the stones were kept in. Well, those keys were placed beneath the head of his father. In other words, his father was sleeping all the time. Dami Minasim, his father was sleeping, and he didn't want to wake him up. He didn't want to distress him, to pain him by waking him up. So he didn't wake up his father. So you see how far he was willing to go. So, but what you do see though, Lamaisa, what emerges from this story is that apparently there's nothing wrong with purchasing, with obtaining stones for the ephod, for the basic mikdash, from Gaim. So how could that be? What happened to this drasha of Yichli Chumma? If Sheila's correct that this drasha of Dabar Bnei Yisrael V'Yichlu is Bnei Yisrael Yichlu V'Eino Avdu Chav Yichlu, so why don't we apply that similar methodology to another pasuk where it says V'Yichli Chumma? So says the Gemara, no, Avnei Shoam Hifzaka Inin. The Avnei Shoam mentioned that pasuk breaks up the matter. In other words, if you take a look at those psukim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, etc., and Shmos Chavhei over there. So the Pesukim then list off a whole bunch of things that you're supposed to be gathering, be collecting from Klal Yisrael. It says Kesef and Nechoshes, but when you read it, it says Kesef, Nechoshes, Chilas, Vargam, and Varos, and then the Pasuk goes on into Pasuk Zayin over there, where the Pasuk says Avnei Shom, V'Avnei Miluim, La'ifod, V'La'choshen. So the Avnei Shom does not have a Vav. The whole list of items is one continuation, is one continued list, because each item on the list has a Vav in front of it. It says V'Kesef, V'Nechoshes, U'Tcheles, V'Argam, so all those things. But then when you get to the Avnei Shom, there's no Vav. Why is there no Vav? So clearly it's because the Pasuk is trying to break up this, the next things mentioned from the early part. Why is it breaking it up? To show you that the things afterwards and now are not part of the Yichuli Truma Dafka Bnei Yisrael directive. Okay. So now it says the Gemara, wait a second. V'ha v'avni milum kesiv. What are you talking about? Read the whole pasuk. It says Avni Shom v'avni milum laifot. So the Avni milum mentioned in that pasuk do have a vav in front of it, and therefore if it has a vav, it should be connected to the tzivoy of Dabar Bnei Yisrael v'yichuli truma, and you guys should take truma, and this should be davka towards Klal Yisrael. So how can you tell me that Goyim are allowed to be part of the kicha process? That's not true. This should also be part of the same mitzvah. The ode, and furthermore, Katani Seifa, take a look at the hemshech of that story we learned in the Seifa over there. It says, L'shana acheres, nodo lo para duma be'edro. A year later, he had a paraduma that was born in his flock or in his herd of animals. Nichnasu chachmei Yisrael etzel. So the chachmei Yisrael went in over there by Dama ben Nesina. Amar lehem, and he said to them, Yodei ani b'chem shem ani mevakesh mikem kol mamon shebolam. I know about you guys that if I were to ask from you to give me all the money in the world, atem nosan li, you would give it to me in order so that you get hold of this paraduma. But now the only thing I'm going to be asking from you, I'm not asking from you, Ella, only also moment of sanity, only that money that I lost out, that I caused a loss, Bishvil Abba, right? That money that I lost out last year when you guys came asking for the Avnei Ephod. So Lemaisa though, what do you see? You see that clearly they had no problem obtaining a paraduma from a guy. So even if you want to tell me something about the Avnei Avanim for the Ephod, so even if you want to tell me that maybe you could read up the Pesukim that way, but you can't read it for the Paradumi. You yourself told me that the way that we understand Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that he holds it's Dafka that Paraduma is commanded to Klai Yisrael and not to Gaim. So says the Gemara, Hasam, over there, Adei Tagri Yisrael Zavan. How are they going about purchasing the items from Dama ben Nesina? They were using merchants of Yisrael. In other words, they were middlemen. It wasn't a direct transaction between Hekdesh and the guy. So you have a Jew who is a middleman. He was buying something, using money out of his own pocket in order to make this purchase from Dama ben Nesina. And therefore, and then he would take those items and sell that to Hekdesh. That's what was really going on over there, and therefore there's no issue of having Gaim as part of the Kicha process, because they're not directly involved in a transaction between Hekdesh and the Gaim. Okay, so now we've defended Sheila's understanding of Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Well, what emerged then from Rebbe Eliezer, from the way that Sheila understood Rebbe Eliezer's opinion, is that Rebbe Eliezer holds that the only issue with involving a Gaim in the process of a paraduma, of buying a paraduma from a guy, is that he's now be part of the kicha process, because we have a pasuk. The pasuk says yichu the bnei Yisrael yichu, right? It says darba bnei Yisrael v'yichu. So because of that, so we know that Gam can be part of the process. Is that true? In other words, why does Sheila say that? Presumably, it's that Sheila holds that Rav Eliezer is of the opinion that it's only because Gaim can't be part of the kicha process, but not because we're choshish them for Revia. So says the Gemara of Rav Eliezer, Luchayish the Revia. Is that true? That according to Shiva's understanding of Rav Eliezer does not, he's not concerned about Revia. He's not choshish that if we were to buy a paraduma from a guy that there should be concern about Revia. But Danya, I thought we learned in a Braisa, Amar lo Rav Eliezer, they said to Rav Eliezer, Maisa v'lakhua mina of the kuchavim, v'dama shemo, that they related this incident, and they said that they were buying it, they were obtaining the paraduma from a guy, and some say it was Dama was his name, some say Remetz was his name. And what did Eliezer respond? Armelan Eliezer, Eliezer said back to them, Misham Raya, you're trying to bring a Raya from the story of Dama ben Asina to say that that you can buy a paraduma from a guy, Misham Raya, Yisrael Yimshamanos and Mishashinoda. There, you can't bring any riots from over there. There were Jews who were watching over it from the time that it was born. In other words, why would there need to be Jews watching over the paraduma from the time that it's born? Because there would be concern that they use it for revia. So you see that it's nothing to do necessarily. It's not just about this kicha issue. It's because of the issue of revia. In other words, so now, and even if you could get out of the kicha issue by saying that there were merchants there, there was an additional issue that Eliezer felt that he had to tell them that over there you can't bring any rice, you can obtain a paraduma from a guy, because over there they were watching the baby from the time it was born, and so there was no issue of revia. So clearly, Rav Eliezer is of the opinion, he does hold that we're choshish for revia. So how could Sheila come along and tell me the real reason why Rav Eliezer says that you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy is that they're not allowed to be part of the kicha process? What are you talking about? Rav Eliezer is pretty clear in this price that he holds that there's the issue of revia. So says the Gemara, how are we going to defend Sheila? Rav Eliezer tarti isle. Rav Eliezer holds of two issues. Now the Bach adds in over here isle, and there's a second one, isle kicha. He holds of the issue of kicha, that the guy cannot be part of the process of kicha of a paraduma. V'chayishnami the revia, and he's also concerned about revia. So it's both. Okay. So Amar. So now, wait a second. One of the things that you mentioned in that Braisa is that we said in the Braisa that Yisrael Yimashamin Asami Shashinoda, that there were Jews who were watching it from the moment that it was born. So says the Gemara, wait a second, how is that going to help you to make sure that the animal didn't have revia? V'nechosh Dilma Rav'i Le'ima. Maybe the Gayim, the owners, had revia with the mother. Maybe they used the mother for bestiality. Ki havim abra, while the mother was pregnant. And we know that if you have revia with the mother when she's pregnant, that taints the baby. The baby is considered to be a problem for paraduma. How do I know this? Dam Rava, as Rava said, Vlada Nogachas, if you have the baby of a Nogachas, Aser is Aser. Why? Because he uvlada nakhu, because she and her baby participated in the negicha. What's this talking about? So this is a sugya that we actually had in Baba Kama, where we know that there's a halach that if a cow or an ox gores and kills a person, and there are two witnesses who watched it, and they come to court and they testify that that Reuven's ox gored and killed somebody. So we know that the ox now is called a shor haniskal. Once Bezin reached the verdict, that the animal has in fact killed someone through negicha. So the animal has to be put to death. It's called a shor haniskal. It's supposed to be stoned. But we do know, though, that let's say you don't have two witnesses. Let's say you only have one witness. Or let's say the owner themselves come into Bez and they admit. They say, we're really sorry, our ox killed somebody. So what's the halacha there? The halacha is that the shor itself is not a bona fide, doesn't have a bona fide status as a shor haniskal. So we wouldn't put it to death, because you need two witnesses in order to put the animal to death. But you're not allowed to use that animal to be brought as a karban. That's the halacha. Once the Balaam admit, or once there are, once there's one witness, one aid to testify, so you're not allowed to bring the animal as a karban. So the question is, but what about though if the mother was pregnant when she was committing this negich, when she was goring somebody and killing? What's the halacha with that baby? If the baby is born, are you allowed to bring the baby as a carbon? So Rava says, Vlada Nogachas, the Vlad of a Nogachas, the Vlad of a mother that gored and killed somebody, and the baby was in the mother when the mother did the mice in the Gicha, Aser. the baby itself is usher to be brought as a karban.
Okay.
He uvlada naku. Why? Because she and the vlad did the nagicha, did the goring. In other words, the baby was participated in the ma'isa of goring, and therefore the baby itself is also usher to be used as a karban. Vlad hanerbas, but what about the vlad of a nerbas? What about the vlad, the baby of a mother that was used for revia, that was used for bestiality? Can that be used as a karban? Usher. That's also usher. Why? He uvlada nirbu, because she, the mother, and the baby were part of the revia, and therefore, because when the mother was pregnant, it had this ma'aser revia, the baby itself was tainted as an animal that was used for revia, and therefore cannot be used as a karban. Now, so what does this have to do with us? Because you just said a second ago that the Jews would watch the baby that was to be used as a paraduma. Well, they watched over it from the moment that was born. What does it make a difference if you watched over it from the moment that it was born? If the mother had revia, if the gaisha owners used the mother for revia while the mother was pregnant, then the baby is a problem. You can't use that baby as a carbon, and you can't use that baby for paraduma. So says the Gemara, Amos, I'll tell you what to say. What do we mean in that braisa? Yisrael hayu misharmanusa misha shenotzra. The mother, the Jewish people were watching over the not just the baby from the moment it was born, they watched over it from the time that it was conceived, from the time, notes from Lashon of being formed. In other words, once the mother conceived, they watched over it to make sure that the mother was not used for revia. So now says the Gemara, wait a second. V'nechash domam rav'u'a li'ima meikara. Well, why shouldn't we suspect that maybe the Gaisha owners who are in possession of this mother that was ultimately going to give birth to a paraduma baby, so maybe they used the mother for Revia Meikara originally, meaning even before the mother conceived. Now wait a second. We have to figure out if the assumption we're making is true. In other words, we're making an assumption right now that if the mother was used for Revia before it actually conceived, the baby that ultimately conceives and then gives birth to, and now we want to use it for paraduma, is going to be a problem. Right now, up until this point, we only know about Rava's Yisod being that of Lad of a Nirbas, that when the mother was pregnant while it had Revia, so that baby, that fetus, is tainted. It's considered an animal that was used for Revia, and that can't be used as a carbon when it comes out. But now the question is, the Gemara is assuming right now and suggesting, well, maybe when you have Revia with the mother, even before it conceives, well, if it conceives later, the baby itself is considered to be Vlad Anerbas. Tadnan, as we know, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol HaPsulin L'Gabi Mizbeach, anything that's invalid to be used as a carbon on a Mizbeach, Vlado Sein Mutarn, their babies are permitted. In other words, the babies that they conceived, if the mother that's puzzled to be used as a carbon for whatever reason, let's say it's a muksa, or it was devoted for avodah zarah, or let's say it was nevin, the mother conceives, and now, after whatever it was that invalidated the carbon, that invalidated the mother. So let's say the mother conceives and now is having a baby. So the vlad is permitted to be used as a carbon. That's what the Mishnah says. This is the Mishnah in Tmur actually. Now what do we teach over there? V'tani Allah, Rabbi Eliezer Oser. We know that in that discussion over there, by that Mishnah, we taught in a Braisa that this is not unanimous. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer actually holds that the vlad of such a psul, of such a mother that was puzzled, the Gamim Mizbeach, is going to be puzzled to be used as a carbon. Now, wait a second. Why is this a problem? Well, it depends. Hanichala Rava, it's all good. There's no issue. We're not making any problems right now. If you hold like Rava, why? Tamar Rava Amar Nachman, because we know that Rava quoted from Rav Nachman, Machlokas Kishin Nirba'u Kishahin Mukdashin. This Machlokas in Tmura between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer about whether Psul and Lagabi Mizbeach, whether the Vlad of a Psul, of an animal that's Pasul, to the Mizbeach, whether that Vlad is Mutar or Aser, that's specifically when the mother was used for a Via, Kishahin Mukdashin. When the mother was already kachim, when it was already declared and mukdash to be a karban, that's when it is machlokas. In other words, the mother was consecrated as an animal to be kachim. Then there was revia. That's what we're talking about. That's where there's machlokas. Aval kashehin chulin, derei hakol mutar. But when they're chulin, then everyone would hold that there's no problem. In other words, if the mother was used for a ma'aser revia before it was consecrated, before it was declared as kadosh, then it was declared as kadosh and it conceives the baby, there's nothing to talk about. There's no machlokas about this. There's only machlokas if the mother was used for revia after it was consecrated. So that's one point. But there's another point. Ella l'Rav Huna bar Chinna amar Rav Nachman, but Rav Huna quoted from Rav Nachman, machlokas kishenirbu kishen chulin. There's a machlokas about when the mother was used for Raviyah, even when it was Chulin. There's still a machlokas about it. In other words, the machlokas between the Chum and Rabbi Eliezer about whether the Vlad of a Pasul Agav Mizbeach is mutter or not. That machlokas is when the mother was used, even when the mother was used for Raviyah, when before it was Kadosh. Avokshem Mukdashin, but when they were Mukdash already, and then it was used for Ma'aser Raviyah, Dibrei HaKol Asur, and everyone would hold that the Vlad of such a mother would be Asur. So Mike, what are you going to say? Let's put it together. There's a lot of details over here. Remember, you have to keep track of the steps. We said over here that in order to explain Sheila's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, we said that the Jews, the Jews were watching over the baby from the moment that it was born. And that's how we know that it didn't undergo Raviyah. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe they had Raviyah with the mother. And if they had Raviyah with the mother when it was pregnant with this baby, then the Raviyah, then the baby is tainted as an animal that was used as a nirba. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to use it as a pardumah. So the Gemara says, no, they watched the mother from the time that it was, from the time that it conceived. And therefore, we know that the mother didn't have Raviyah while it was pregnant, and therefore the baby is not tainted as a Vlada Nirbas and can be used for a Parduma. So the Gemara says, okay, but wait a second, maybe they had Raviyah with the mother before anything happened. In other words, before there was anything to talk about. Why would that be a problem? Well, I'll tell you why it would be a problem. We know that there's a machlokas between Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim for the Psulim L'gamim Mizbeach. If you have an animal that was Pasul L'gamim Mizbeach, let's say it's a Vlad, an animal that was used for a Raviyah, and it has a Vlad. So we say it's Mutter according to the Chachamim, but it's Aser according to Rav Eliezer. You can't use it as a carbon according to Rav Eliezer. Now we know that there's a discussion in the Amoraim how to understand the machlokas Tanaim. We know that Rav understands that machlokas is specifically if the mother, once it was Kadosh, then it had Raviyah, so that's where there's a machlokas. But if the mother was not kadosh yet and it was used for Raviyah, then there's nothing to talk about. There's no machlokas. You can use the baby from such a mother for a carbon. But we know the Rav Huna has a different understanding. Rav Huna says the machlokas is specifically even if it was near v'u, when the mother was not kadosh yet. In other words, then if the mother was not kadosh and it was used for Raviyah, and then it was declared as kachim. And now the mother has a baby. So can you use that as kachim? The answer is that's the machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says no, and the Chum say yes. But if it's mukdash, but if it's already mukdash, if the animal was already mukdash, then there would be a problem. So now we have a big kasha. Because you got finished saying, you just told me a second ago, that if they had Raviyah with the mother only once it was pregnant, that's where there's a problem. But maybe they had Raviyah with the mother originally. And if they'd reveal with the mother even way back when, and now it conceives, so then you're gonna have a problem. So and it's usher, so then you have a problem though. Given Rav Huna's understanding. So says the Gemara, Ema Yisrael, la yimishamanos aliima, misha'asha notzra. Why don't we say that they watched over the mother from the time that it conceived? So says the Gemara, what did we say? Ema Yisrael, la yimishamanos aliima, misha'asha notzra. I'll tell you what was going on in this case is that they were watching over the mother from the time that the mother was conceived. And so because they watched over the mother from the time the mother was conceived, they can rest assured that the mother never had Raviyah in her life, even when she was living before she was Kadosh, and therefore the baby itself can be used as a Parduma. So says Gemara, wait a second. V'nechash d'ma Ravu li'ima di'ima. Maybe we should be concerned that maybe they used the grandmother for Raviyah. In other words, it's true, maybe they watched over the mother from the time that the mother was formed, that when the mother was conceived, but maybe the mother's mother was used for Raviyah, which would mean that the mother would also be a problem. So Mar says, no, kuli alo choshinan. For that much, we're not going to be choshish. You don't have to go that far back. So says the Gemara, Amar Mar, Yisrael Yimisham Nasa Misha Shinoza. Wait a second. One of the things you mentioned before in that Braisa was that if you have a Jew, if the Jews were watching over from the time that it was formed, then we can make sure that the Paraduma never had Raviyah. Well, Mina Yadin, how are we supposed to know that the mother is going to be having a Paraduma? We don't know that it's going to have Dafka, a red cow. So Amar Kana, Kos Adam, Ma'aviran Lefaneha B'sha Sha'ola Ola HaZachar. They would pass a red cup before it, before the animal at the time that it was used for breeding, and that impacted somehow and ensured that the baby to be born was going to be a Parduma. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If you can just easily make sure that babies are paradumas by making sure that when the breeding is occurring, that you pass a kosa adom in front of them. So ihachi amaydamei yakran. So then, if that's so, then why is it so expensive to get hold of a paraduma? So Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Hol shtei saros posos ba, because two hairs, either black hairs or white hairs, can invalidate the animal as a paraduma. That's why it's very expensive. It's very easy for the animal to be passeled. So Gemara says, wait a second, what's the difference for their animals? In other words, why is it that the Jews were going to Dama ben Asina? Why are they going to a guy to get hold of an animal for the paraduma? Why don't they go to a Jewish a Jewish farmer, a Jewish person who had a par of some sort? So Amar Rav Kana ben Muchzek, Rav Kana says, I'll tell you why. It's because this family, the Dama ben Asina's family, had a type of cow where they had a chazaka on their babies, that the babies of those cows, that all they had to do was pass over a cup, while the animals were breeding, and that's what they would do. In other words, let's say it like this: why is it if the way that you would create this parduma was by passing this red cup in front of the animals while they were breeding? So why would you go to Dama ben Asina and do that when they're breeding? Why not go to any Jewish farmer, right? Why not go to any Jewish person who has two cows, and when they're breeding, make sure that you pass over this red cup? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because it was Dafka the cows that Dama ben Asina's family had, that when they would pass a cup in front of those cows, that would ensure that the baby would be a paraduma. It didn't work for everybody's cows. Okay, so one final piece of Gemara over here. The Gemara says, Yosef Rav Ami Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Akilat Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha were sitting by the Akila, like a porch of some sort, by Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. So Pasach Harminau, one of them opened and began saying, Va'amar, and he said, V'cheinai Rav Eliezer posel b'kol ha'karbonos kulan. He was saying over this Shtikl Torah that we talked about before, that Rav Eliezer would likewise invalidate all other karbanos. So Pasach Idach Minau, the other one opened and said back, so Va'amar, and he said, Mayosi v'lei chavro le Rav Eliezer. What did the chaverim, what did the rabbanon say back to Rav Eliezer? So they said, Kol tzom kedu yikavzulach. What we talked about before, that what are you talking about, Rav Eliezer? Why is there a problem with all other karbanos, obtaining karbanos from a guy? We know that b'yimos Mashiach, they were going to accept the animals as karbanos from guy. So Amar len Rav Eliezer says back to the chachamim, Kulam gerim gerun him la'asad lavo. What are you talking about? That pasuk that you're citing me is la'asad lavo, and that's when all the guyim are going to come and act as gerim. They're going to be gerim gerun. They're going to be dragged to gerim. They're going to be naturally coming to join Klal Yisrael, even though we're not going to accept them. And they're going to behave, presumably, like members of Klal Yisrael, and that's why there's no problem. There's no chashash of revia then. Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, Ma'akra, what's the pasuk that supports that idea? The pasuk that says in Tzvanya, Ki az ehepoch el amim, safa brura, likra kulam b'shem Hashem, la'avdo shchem echad. So what do you see from that pasuk? Then I will turn over, I will flip, convert the gayim to be a safa brura, to have a clean, clear, straight mouth, a lip, right? A lips, in other words, and they're all going to be declaring Shem Hashem in unison. Everyone's going to be on the same page, and therefore there's no chashash of Revia. So Amalei Abayi says back to Rav Yosef, well, maybe it's only from Avodah Zarah that the Gaim then are going to retract, and they're going to be B'safar Brura, but not that they're all going to share all the same mitzvah, says Klal Yisrael. Amalei Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said back, no, read the end of that pasuk in Tzvani, where it says, La'avdo Shechem Echad, to serve Hashem with a single, literally like a Shechem, like a shoulder, with one shoulder, so to speak. La'avdo Shechem Echad, Ksiv. In other words, they're all going to be sharing the same load, sharing the same burden, being part of the same, accepting the same belief system, devoting themselves to the same Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, it's not just Avodah Zarah that they're going to stop doing B'mas Mashiach, they're also going to take on all the mitzvahs. Okay, either way, so they discussed, Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha were discussing this discussion from the time, Rav Eliezer and the Chum's conversation. And one of them says, Rav Eliezer would likewise pass all other kabbanos. He was saying that over. So the other responds, well, wait a second, what would the Chacham say back to Rav Eliezer? So they would say back, Kol Tzom Kedar. So then Rav Eliezer would say back to the Chachamim, well, but that's only B'mas Mashiach. So Rabbi Yosef comments on that and he says, what's the support for Rabbi Yosef's idea there? The pasuk of ki azeh hapoch. And Abai says back to Rabbi Yosef, well, actually, maybe they're only retracting from Avodah Zarah, but not for Raviyah. Maybe they'll still be doing Raviyah then. So Rabbi Yosef says, no, the pasuk doesn't sound like that. The pasuk sounds like they're changing entirely. So now, Rav Papa Mas Nehachi. Rav Papa taught his version of the story, of this discussion of Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafka were as we presented. It was like this, was the aforementioned presentation. For Rav Zvid Mas Nehachi, but Rav Zvid had the following version of the story, a slightly different version. What did he have? He had a Vitarvayu Ami, in other words, Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafka are sitting at the porch, and both of them start saying the following. They start by saying over this shekel Torah that Eliezer would invalidate all the korbanos. Vitar vayo army, and then instead of once opening up, not pasach hadmi now, and then the other one is pasach idach. They're both saying together. What would the chacham say back to Eliezer? Kolzon kiter yikavsulach, etc. And then Amar lahem Rabbi Eliezer, Kulam Gerim Geruma, Heim L'Atzalavo, Umaykra, and what's the pasuk for that? Ki Azeh Epoch Alamim, Safa Brura L'Krol L'Kulam Shem Hashem. And then on that, Maskevla Rabbi Yosef, had the following kasha. Maybe it was specifically from Avodah Zarah that they retracted, but not from Raviyah. That Abai says back to Raviyah, no, it's the pasuk says love to Shechem Echad. So there's two different versions of what exactly happened, whether Rav Yitzchak and Rav Ami are talking to each other, or they're talking about the same ideas, and they're saying them together, and then afterwards, it's Rav Yosef who asks Akasha, that maybe they're closer from Avodah Zarah, and only Avodah Zarah, not from Raviyah. And then Abai responds, as opposed to the way that we had it before, where it was Rav Yosef who found the pasuk, Abai attacks it, and then Rav Yosef defends it. All right, let's hold here. The basic idea, the basic idea that we talked about over here in this Amud is Shiva. We tried to figure out the basis for Rav Yosef's opinion. We talked about Shiva's opinion that whether Gaim should be part of the process of obtaining a paraduma. What about for Truma as well, for donations for the Beis Hamikdash, for the Mishkan? We wanted to know, we established basically that given Shiva's understanding of Rav Eliezer, the Rav Eliezer holds of both the concept of the gun can't be part of the process and also this chashash of Raviyah. Once we brought that up, we talked about the point that the Jews had to have been watching over the Paraduma from the time that it was born, and we tried to figure out how does it help, what about the baby itself, and we went through a number of details, how early on we have to be Choshesh for Raviyah, and then finally we have Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafka's discussion about the responses from the Rav Eliezer to the Chacham and the Chacham to Rav Eliezer. All right, let's hold here.